Soul-winning young preacher came upon a farmer who was working in his field, and being concerned about the farmer's soul, the preacher asked the man, "Are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, my good man?" Not even looking at the preacher and continuing his work, the farmer replied, "Nah, these are soybeans." "You don't understand," said the preacher. "Are you a Christian?" With that same amount of interest in his previous answer, the farmer said, "Nope, my name is Jones. You must be looking for Henry Christian. He's about 5 miles south of us here." Well, the young determined preacher tried again, and he asked the farmer, "Are you lost?" "Nah, I've lived here all my life," answered the farmer. "Are you prepared for the judgment?" the frustrated preacher said to this farmer. Well, this kind of caught the farmer's attention, and so he asked, "When's the judgment going to be?" Thinking he had accomplished something, the young preacher replied, "It could be today, it could be tomorrow, or the next day." Taking a handkerchief from his back pocket and wiping his brow, the farmer remarked, "Well, don't mention it to my wife. She don't get out much, and she'll want to go all 3 days." All right. Well, are we who are Christians concerned about the souls of men and women and young people and boys and girls around us? Do we have a passion like that farmer, or that preacher rather, did to his farmer friend or neighbor to reach others who are lost around us for Christ? Do we have that same passion? I have to ask myself that. Are we as Christ followers emulating, seeking to emulate Christ to everyone in our sphere of influence, beginning first of all with those in our homes, those in our families, our family members, and then extending from there to others? You see, beloved, people don't see Jesus walking around in a body today. Now that he's ascended and he's at the right hand of the Father today, we don't see Jesus in a body today, but they now see Jesus emulated in you and in I who are Christ followers. You and I are Christians, or Christ ones, who bear the image of Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of the universe, to those around us. We are those who emulate or who reflect Jesus to those around us. We are the little lights, as it were, that reflect the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I who name the name of Christ are to seek to emulate Christ in every way possible in our lives. So we come now to COVID-19 survival strategy number 9. Emulate Christ to others. Emulate Christ to others. As we continue our study on the series on the life of our Savior, the question is, how do we emulate Christ? How do we emulate Christ to those around us, beginning in our home? Today, we want to look at 7 character traits that are definitely true of Jesus and should be true of every Christ follower here today. So we, in turn, as we emulate Christ, as we see Christ, we can in turn emulate him to others around us. By the way, this is how you and I who are parents here today, and you and I who are perhaps grandparents are today, are to emulate Christ to our kids and to our grandkids. When you think of it, where should we most emulate Christ, who are followers of Christ? It should most be emulated in our homes, to our spouse, to our kids, to our grandkids. It begins there, right? It begins there. And often the home, we all know this to be true, often the home is the hardest place to emulate Christ, is it not? Last week we looked at the first 3 character traits that Jesus exemplified and that we too are to emulate in our lives. First, be holy as Jesus is holy. Then secondly, be loving as Jesus was loving. Loving the Father, loving the church, loving sinners to Jesus, loving our enemies even, and loving little children we talked about, just as Jesus did. And then thirdly, have a never-dying love for souls like Jesus did. Have a never-dying love for souls like Jesus did. This brings us to our 4th character trait this morning. Be compassionate as Jesus was. Be compassionate as Jesus was compassionate. People are watching your life, whether you believe it or not, they are. They know that you are a Christian. And they're watching you more closely than we know, as people of faith. It has been said that we are the only Bible some people will ever study. We are the only Bible that some people will ever study. And so they have a right to expect our walk to match our talk, even though consistent love and compassion don't come easy to us, right? Henry J.M. Newman expresses it this way, and I quote, "Compassion is hard because it requires the inner disposition to go with others to the place where they are weak, where they are vulnerable, lonely, and broken. But this is not our spontaneous response to suffering. What we desire most is to do away with suffering by fleeing from it or by finding a quick cure for it." End of quote. Did Jesus have this compassion for the hurting, for the outcasts of society, the lonely, the broken, the marginalized? Did he ever? Did he ever? He had compassion on the blind man, and he healed him. He had compassion on wee Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who was hated and shunned by society for taking more money than allotted as a tax collector. And Jesus even visited him in his home, this one who everybody shunned and avoided. And Jesus' compassion led to Zacchaeus being wonderfully converted, wonderfully changed when he met Christ there in his own home. Jesus had compassion on the demon-possessed and casting out demons in Jesus' name. Mark 9:22 is one example. He had compassion on the poor lepers, the outcasts of society. They were plagued with this disease that was contagious, and everybody avoided them. And they were even to leave their home for fear of any of their family members getting leprosy. Almost like COVID-19, isn't it? You couldn't get anywhere any lower than a leper in the Bible times. But Jesus took time for those lepers. Jesus took time for those lepers. He had compassion on them, and he touched them, and he healed them. Mark chapter 1 gives us this account of Jesus and his experience here with the lepers. Mark chapter 1, and beginning here at verse 40. "Now a leper came to Jesus and imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can be clean.' Then Jesus moved," notice it now, listen to it, "Jesus moved with compassion, and he stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." The touch of Jesus, the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. How's our compassion for people in the midst of COVID-19 and all? Often we say we have compassion, but do we really have compassion? You see, compassion is more than words. Compassion is action. As we just illustrated, Jesus demonstrated his compassion with action. He put shoe leather to his talk. Do I do that? Do you do that? You see, you and I are to have a love and a compassion, not just in word only, but in action, in deed. We are to have love and compassion. 1 John chapter 3, the little Johns, we read these words about the kind of compassion and love that every Christ follower is to have. Beginning here at verse 17 of 1 John, the little Johns, chapter 3, verse 17. "But whosoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Then he says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed." That's another word for action. We show our love by our actions, our deeds, our actions, our kindness to others. And then he says, and in truth. That means in sincerity. From our hearts we show that love and that compassion to others who are in need. Do we have this compassion? Confess this to the Lord if we don't have it. And then what we need to do, we confess it to the Lord. We don't have this compassion. Then we need to ask the Lord to burn it into our hearts. Burn it into our hearts, the same compassion that Jesus had. And demonstrate that compassion in both our words and our actions. Character trait number 5, be prayerful as Jesus was. Be prayerful as Jesus was. The 4 Gospels give us a glimpse into the great prayer life of our Lord Jesus Christ. But none is as strong as the writer of Hebrews' words about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5. And I'll read it for you there this morning. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. This verse is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, who in the days of his flesh, a reference to Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with vehement, the word vehement there means loud cries unto the Lord. You ever done that? Just cry out to the Lord, vocally to the Lord. Maybe you're driving in your car and you're all alone, or you're walking down the trail or in the woods. You just cry out to the Lord, or you have a quiet place in your room and you just cry out to the Lord audibly. That's what Jesus did here. And tears. He cried out with tears. When was the last time I cried out in prayer with tears? You see, Jesus exemplified this and was heard because of his godly fear. And don't we need a godly fear, godly reverence for him in these days? And we know it was not uncommon for Jesus to, in fact, pray all night. I've never done that. But Jesus did. Maybe do our soul good if we did. Even pray for an hour. Maybe 2 hours, huh? Luke chapter 6, verse 12, Jesus prayed all night. Do we take time to pray for even 1 hour? Do we take time to even pray for a half hour? Do we pray when we can't sleep? Instead of count sheep, why not talk to the shepherd? You get a lot more accomplished when you do that, right? Talk to the shepherd. Jesus prayed before his temptation. He fasted. Remember in Matthew chapter 4, when Satan came and tempted him? Jesus fasted and he prayed for 40 days before his temptation. Do we apply Jesus' teachings in the Lord's Prayer to ask God to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil? Jesus even prayed when it came to temptation. And how much more should we pray in light of temptation to guard us from yielding to temptation? Jesus prayed openly to the Father, requesting miracles to be done, like raising Lazarus back to life. Talk about getting people's attention, right? Someone dead and being raised back to life, that'd get anybody's attention. That'd get the headlines in the newspaper or on the social media news, right? Sure would. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was. That's Lazarus, where he was buried. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. Amen. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried. There's his voice. Crying, and it says, with a loud voice, a vehement voice, a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with the grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Wow, what a miracle our Lord performed. Someone has said that if he hadn't said Lazarus, all the dead nearby would have risen. And how true that would be. Do we believe God raised Lazarus from the dead? Do we believe that God can raise men dead in trespasses and sins and bring life to them, having been dead in their sins, and bring spiritual life to them? Do we believe that? Do we believe God to do a miracle and save a family member of ours? Maybe save a neighbor of ours? Just as Jesus healed many, do we believe God can heal people? Do we have this faith that leads us to pray in the name of Jesus for the miracle of their healing? Do we have that kind of faith? James chapter 5, I'm not sure what verse it is there. It's in James chapter 5. I know the verse, and it goes like this. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's down near the end of the chapter. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And then in John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, Jesus teaches us to pray in the name of Jesus and to pray according to his will. According to his will, it lines up with what Scripture teaches. Is it God's will we pray for the lost? Yes. Is it God's will we pray for the sick? Yes. Is it God's will we pray for a wayward child? Yes. 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 Jesus often sought to be alone in prayer in a solitary or a quiet place. Mark chapter 1 verse 35 says he went away and found and into a solitary place, a quiet place, and there he prayed. Sometimes he prayed alone, Matthew 14, 13. Sometimes he prayed with his disciples, Luke 9, 28. And we too need to find a quiet place to get alone and pray with the Lord, alone with the Lord. Yet there needs to be times when we pray with each other, when we have other Christians that we meet together to pray for, just as Jesus did. Do we have another Christian that we pray with? You guys out here, you men need another Christian guy that you can meet up with for coffee or some place nearby that you can meet up and pray with them. You ladies need another lady that you can go to and you can pray with them. Even on the phone, pray with them. We need people, other people that we can pray with. Jesus taught the importance of that, didn't he? When he said that where two or three are gathered in my name and there agree, he's talking about prayer here, there agree, then it shall be done to us. There's something about two or more believers gathering together to pray that unleashes the power of God in amazing ways. So I encourage you to find some other Christians to pray with. I encourage you to sign up with our Wednesday night Zoom Bible study and prayer group, because that's what we do. We study the word and we pray together. You need other Christians that you can pray with. And they can pray for you. And you can pray for them. It is so crucial in these days. Do you know this? Something I was thinking about. Nothing will impact your kids more or your grandkids more than to see you on your knees in prayer. Did you get that? Nothing's going to impact your kids or your grandkids more than to see you on your knees in prayer. When trouble comes, and they will. Do I have a witness? Huh? Anybody here ever exempt from troubles here? No. We all have them, don't we? So when troubles come, and they will, what a powerful, impacting example seeing a mom or a dad on their knees in prayer will have on their kids and their grandkids. They'll never forget it. They'll never forget it. Not only that, but hearing dad and mom praying together and asking God for his help and his divine intervention in a time of need, and hearing you pray for your kids will have lasting impressions upon your kids and your grandkids. And they'll see and they'll know by your godly example what to do when hardships come. They'll know exactly what to do because they saw mom and dad do it. Getting on their knees in prayer. And dear moms and dads, we need to be passing that legacy on to our kids of faith and prayer and Bible reading, etc. It is so important, is it not? Character trait number 6, be meek as Jesus was. Be meek as Jesus was. The great preacher R.A. Torrey wrote, meekness is the attitude of mind that is opposed to harshness and contentiousness. Meekness is the attitude of mind that is opposed to harshness and contentiousness, end of quote. Meekness, of course, is one of the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. And you all know the fruit of the Spirit, right? Galatians chapter 5, 23, love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and, what is it? Meekness and faith and self-control. It's a beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Meekness is. And it needs to be manifested in our lives as followers of Christ, as it was in Jesus' life. Meekness manifests itself in gentleness. Some Bibles use the word gentleness in their translation of the word meekness. It's a synonym of meekness, gentleness. And tenderness is another good word for meekness. And don't we need that? Don't we husbands need that towards our wives? Don't we, guys? A little more tenderness, a little more gentleness. Dads, don't we need that tenderness and that gentleness towards our kids a little bit more? That meekness towards others, even to those who are mean to us, even to those who are harsh to us or who oppose us or take advantage of us. Someone says something that's kind of rude online or on Facebook or however you communicate on social media. Someone says something so not so nice. Don't lash back at them with something not nice. Give them some kind words back. Or just don't respond. We need this meekness in our marriages and in our parenting and in our workplace and towards one another in our churches. Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe put it, meekness is not weakness, it's power under control. Power under control. And you cannot manufacture that yourself. And I cannot manufacture myself, but the Holy Spirit can. Amen? How many believe that? When you ask God to fill you with His Spirit every day, He will fill you with meekness, along with the other fruit of the Spirit. Because you just don't get them by reading a book and following a list of suggestions to get it. It just doesn't happen that way. Only the Holy Spirit can give you this meekness. Was Jesus meek? Yes, He was. He was meek and lowly of heart, Scripture says in Matthew 11:29. So if Jesus was meek, it certainly is not a flaw in character, but rather a strength of character. Someone thinks that a man is meek, that he doesn't got any backbone. No. You got more backbone than anybody does if you're a meek man. Even Moses was meek. Jesus was meek. So it's not a weak character quality of any men here today to be meek. It's a godly character. It's a strong character. To someone who is wayward, we need to display a spirit of meekness. Galatians 6:1 talks about, let me read it for you. Galatians 6 verse 1 talks about this idea of going to someone in the spirit of meekness. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says this, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of what? Meekness or gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. The word restore here is actually a medical term, and it's picturing a broken bone being restored. So too, you and I who are spiritual are to seek to restore a wayward believer back to fellowship as a doctor would restore a broken bone. That's in the spirit of meekness. Character trait number 7, be humble as Jesus was. Be humble as Jesus was. We live in a world today, in a society today, where it's all about me, right? It's all about what I can get out of life and trample over everybody else. And I'm it, you know, and pride sets into people's hearts today. And arrogance. Oh, dear friends, that's not what God lifts up. God lifts up the humble. Oh, that we would be more humble as Jesus was humble. Jesus was both meek and lowly in heart, or humble in heart. The word lowly means in our text we mentioned earlier, Matthew 11:29. He was humble in that He sought not His own glory, but the Father's glory. John 8:50. In His humility, He allowed Him to stoop to associate with publicans and sinners. Talk about humility. Our Lord Jesus modeled it. His humility kept Him silent under courageous charges, outrageous charges. Isaiah 53:7. Of course, a classic illustration of humility is seen in the life of our Lord Jesus in His lowering Himself to stoop to wash the disciples' feet. Do you remember that story? John chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. Let me read it for you. We read Jesus' example here of showing humility and stooping to wash the disciples' feet here in chapter 13, verse 4. And he rose from supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself, and he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, every one of them, all 12 of them, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. What a great lesson on humility. And how you and I are to humble ourselves and be a servant to others. Rather than expecting others to serve us, we serve others. Jesus came to minister, right? To serve others, not to be ministered unto, the scripture teaches us. And we need to be humble. Humble servants in whatever way we can. You know, I saw this illustrated a week ago yesterday at Sandy Cove Bible Camp. I saw the young staff like Haley and Alyssa and others humbling themselves to serve others a beautiful meal, wearing the masks, all those kinds of things. And they humbly served us. And then they humbly served in the kitchen afterwards, cleaning up. What an example of thinking of others and serving others and volunteering their time to do that for us was amazing. And, you know, this serving of others needs to happen, first of all, in our homes. Husbands, serving our wives. Dads and moms, serving our kids. Kids, serving dad and mom. It needs to happen in our homes. It needs to happen in our workplace. How can I be a better employee at work? How can I better serve others? It needs to happen in our neighborhood. It needs to happen in our church. As a member, as an elder, as a pastor, as an Awana leader, as a close to you, right? And in the sound booth, like Nick and John, humbly serving us so that we can see what's up here and we can hear better. And this is all about this idea of serving others and being like Christ. So, dear Christian, is it your desire, your passion to emulate Christ in all that you say and in all that you do to those closest to you, your family, and then to spread out from there to your neighbors, to those who you work with, etc.? Oh, that you and I would emulate Christ to a needy and a lost and a hurting and a fearful world that desperately needs Jesus. There is Jesus, ready for everybody who would reach out to him today. And by the way, may I say that he is the only hope for our world today? How many believe that this morning? He's the only hope for this messed up world that we're living in. People need Jesus. Will we be his hands and feet to them? And that's why we need to pray, right? That's why we need to ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit and his supernatural power to reproduce the same character traits that Jesus showed in our lives too. That same holiness, that same love and compassion, that same never dying love for lost souls around us who desperately need Jesus, that same spirit of meekness and humility, that same dynamic prayer life that could be used to turn our community upside right for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a difference it could make. And indeed, dear ones, Jesus longs to live this life of his Christ-like character in every one of you here who are Christ's followers today. Will you allow him to live his life through you? Will you allow him to be an instrument of righteousness and holiness? Romans 6:19 tells us. Dear child of God, are you willing to yield your life to him as a servant of righteousness unto holiness for God's glory? Oh, to be like Jesus, the hymn writer put it. Oh, to be like Jesus, this is my constant longing and prayer, to be like Jesus. Is that my prayer? Is that your prayer? To be like Jesus, to emulate him to all who are in your sphere of influence, wherever you are. Whatever you do, and whatever you say, to be like Jesus. Let's close in prayer, shall we? With every eye closed, every head bowed, has God spoken to you today about emulating Jesus to others? Will you make it your prayer to emulate him today and every day to those family members of yours, to your kids, to your grandkids perhaps? How about to those that you work with this coming week, or those who you kids go to school with, or those of your neighbors, your community, or amongst your church family? Are you willing to emulate Jesus to all the above? If God has spoken to you this morning, I'm not going to ask for an invitation to come up forward, but I am going to ask you to just slip up your hand here today. If you're a follower of Christ and God has spoken to you and something about the message here this morning that you need to emulate Christ more in your life, just slip up your hand. I just want to have a public prayer here. Just lift up your hand. Thank you. I see several hands going up front here, in the back, both sides. Yeah, just slip up your hand. We can pray for you, and we will do that in a moment. We will do that in a moment. But perhaps you're here and you cannot emulate Christ because you're not yet a Christian. I wonder, would you like to become a Christian today on this baptism Sunday? Be nothing more exciting than that, to become a Christ follower today. You can become a Christ follower, a Christian today. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is not one who has religion, not one who goes to church every Sunday. A Christian is a Christ follower who lives Christ before others. And you can experience that today in your life, knowing that God loves you. In fact, he loves you so much, my dear friend, that he gave his son Jesus on a cross some 2,000 years ago. He laid down his life on that cross, that wooden cross for you. Oh, the love that spanned that cross for you. If no one else had been here on planet Earth but you, he would have died for you. That's how much he loves you. And all you need to do, dear friend, to become a Christian is to admit that you're a sinner, that you have broken God's laws, you have sinned, and then believe that Jesus loves you, that he died on that cross for you. He rose again the third day to give you new life and eternal life. And he paid the penalty for your sins. And now you need to repent and turn from your sins and call upon him to save you and come into your life in a prayer of faith, believing in him. And he will do just that. He will do just that. I'm going to pray for those who raised hands. Just keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Yet if there's someone here that you need to accept Christ today, you've never yet become a Christian, but you want to be, just slip up your hand today so I can pray for you too here today. Anybody, just slip up your hand and put it down. Father, thank you for the hands that went up earlier here that are believers, that are Christ followers, that just want to emulate you more to others. And I put up my hand too, God. I fail many times. I fail many times to represent you and to emulate you to others. And that happens in the home. It happens out of the home, God. And forgive me of that, God. Help me to be a better Christ follower. Help me to better emulate Jesus to those in my home and those outside of the home, wherever I might be. God, we need your Holy Spirit to help us to emulate you to others around us. And so, Lord, those who raise your hand here today as a public acknowledgement of their need to emulate you to others more, that you would bless them for that and that you would help them with that. Your Holy Spirit would be upon them in a powerful way to help them to emulate you to others. And Lord, again, if there's anyone here without Christ, that today might be that day of decision for them today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to